IB Nation, welcome back to another edition of the Irish Breakdown Podcast. It is Wednesday. That means it is midweek rundown time. I'm excited for today. I got my guy Trevor Trowbridge with me today, and we're going to talk a lot about this Notre Dame-Louisville matchup, Trevor. And you and I have spent a lot of time in the film and a lot of time looking at the numbers, and we're going to talk a lot about this matchup today. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then, of course, after we're done with several different aspects of that, we're going to do our first buy-sell hold together. So I'm very much looking forward to that. That's the first thing Trevor said to me. It wasn't like, good morning, Brian. It wasn't, hey, how you doing? Actually, he did say those things. I'm just kind of kidding. It was, man, I'm excited for my first buy-sell hold. So you have been part of the buy-sell hold as a watcher of the show, but this will be your first time actually being on the receiving end, Trevor. But let's just dive in. We're going to get to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's dive into this matchup. Notre Dame-Louisville. We spent a little bit of time yesterday just introing Louisville, right? And just talking about who Louisville was. Now we want to look at it specifically from the standpoint of how these two teams match up together. And this is going to be the fascinating part because there's some areas where it's really good on really good or great on great. There's some areas where like, neither team's been great here. Who wins that battle? Player matchups, they're going to be huge. This is probably the game that until USC is going to be the most intriguing from a, we're going to learn a lot about how talented this Notre Dame football team is. Like, I don't know that this game's going to necessarily teach us if this team has got the maturity to kind of show up every week or things like that. I don't know that because, you know, history tells us that this is usually the kind of game that Notre Dame is up for. This season, this has certainly been the kind of game that Notre Dame is up for because they're not a MAC team. So, but this is a Louisville team, Trevor, that we discussed yesterday, is very well coached and talented. And so we're going to learn a lot about, you know, you ask yourself, like, maybe this team's just not as talented as we thought it was. Maybe this team isn't this, or maybe they are talented, but they're not this. You really don't know. But when you watch guys, okay, I know what that guy can do, and I know what that guy can do. Now let's see him play. I think this is going to be a great test for us to really truly see just how talented this Notre Dame football team is in the trenches and at the skill positions.
I'm excited for Saturday, man. This is going to be one of those games where in previous weeks, we at Irish Breakdown talked a lot about we're going to see how this team is prepared and we're going to see how this team handles success because there was a little bit of, we know from a talent perspective, Notre Dame is more talented than Purdue and more talented than Miami of Ohio, respectively. This is going to be one of the first weeks since Texas A&M that we're going to get to say, hey, we're going to go get to see what these guys look like on the field with more of a level playing field at competition, which is what I'm excited about. These are all the games that you talk about. If you love college football, this is going to be one that you're going to want to tune into, man. I'm excited. It's a lot of good on good. And to your point, in the areas where it's not, that's going to kind of be where the game is decided, where we're going to talk a little bit about later. But overall, I'm excited to see where Notre Dame starts to match up from a skill level. And I do think that they are there, but this is going to be the first test, right? Because there's a lot of unanswered questions, which kind of makes me as a fan, because I am also a fan too of the team, kind of puts me a little bit on edge to kind of see where Notre Dame stacks up. But it's going to be a lot of fun to watch it go down on Saturday, man.
You know, you talk about the Texas A&M game, and this is obviously clearly the closest game that we've seen from a talent standpoint. You know what makes this one a little bit more intriguing than that one is that one taught us, okay, can Notre Dame hold up in the trenches against a team that's really big in the trenches? And for the most part, they held their own and won that battle in the fourth quarter. Where I was not overly impressed with Texas A&M, and still am not, is I don't think they have great skill. They have a guy here, a guy there. You know, good running backs that are bigger guys. They have a couple of receivers that are, but they don't have the kind of speed that I believe Louisville has on offense. And this is going to be the first game, you know, Northern Illinois had some good players. They didn't have burners. Purdue, we talked about as well, big physical team, not really a dynamic athlete team. They were just big guys. Their whole mantra is long and physical, not necessarily a lot of speed right now. Then you look at Miami of Ohio, same thing. I mean, outside of Cole McDonald there were and Reggie Virgil, and Reggie has good speed, but for the MAC, he's got good speed, but for Notre Dame, it's good speed, but it's not special. And you look at it and say, this is going to be the first time where you're literally lining up against guys who are probably as fast as you are, and in some instances, maybe even a touch faster. And I think that's what makes this a little bit of a unique matchup. I don't know that Louisville matches up We'll see. Well, we'll see how well Louisville matches up in the trenches against Notre Dame on one side of the ball. The other side of the ball, we know they match up well because we watched the game last year. But the skill matchup is the one that intrigues me, Trevor, because – and we're going to talk a lot about this as we dive into more specific aspects of this. But that skill-on-skill matchup on both sides of the ball is probably the most intriguing for me. I know a lot of people talking about the trenches and all that, and I get that. And you know, we're a line-driven program and all that kind of stuff, which right now they're not, because their lines aren't the strength of their team on either side of the ball. I would argue the way they're playing right now, the lines aren't even in the top two areas of strength right now on either side of the ball. But it's man, this is one where you're going to truly find out how good your corners have been great so far. They haven't been really tested like they're going to be tested on Saturday. Boy, Jordan Clark's had a really good year so far to nickel, but he hasn't really been tested like he's going to be tested on Saturday. Don Shuler's been great so far this season. Well, for the expectations that we had of him. Well, he's going to get tested a lot more in the pass game in this game, in this contest, than he has been in the last four. And that's what makes this really intriguing, because we're going to learn so much more. Is the pass defense really as good as we think it is? Well, we're going to know by about 7 o'clock on Saturday. And that's the part of this that I find really intriguing. Is it's an extension of what we talked about yesterday, Trevor. Like, this is absolutely 100% a find out game for both of these teams. And obviously, you know, we cover Notre Dame, so it's more so there, but we're going to know a whole lot more about this football team and where Marcus Freeman's program is by the time we get around 7 o'clock on Saturday night.
Most intriguing thing for me too. And you touched on it a little bit, and I'm going to broaden it on a bigger scale here. Notre Dame is a team specifically. One thing that we all as fans have kind of relied on is, they might not have prepared the best for this game. They might not have been as bought in. But one constant has been Notre Dame, at least we feel like, has been the more athletic team. They're the faster team. They are the longer team. And now, to your point, Louisville is kind of a team that starts to level that playing field a little bit. So I'm going to be very excited to see how Notre Dame stacks up on a head-to-head matchup with that athleticism. Is it one thing that they're just so much more athletic than the Purdue's of the world, the Miami of Ohio's of the world, or are they just more athletic in the broad scope of college football? And we can start talking about them in comparison to the other teams. Now, look, I'm not saying that if Notre Dame is more athletic than Louisville, they are now automatically more athletic than Georgia and Bama and Texas, but it's going to start to give us more of a feel of what we might see from this team down the road.
Well, I mean, part of it is, if you look at it and say, like, okay, Notre Dame can handle Ja'Cory Brooks on Saturday. All right, that doesn't necessarily, like you said, tell us that they're going to be able to handle Alabama, whatever. But you know, to a degree, it's a good sign, you know, because we're talking about a guy in Ja'Cory Brooks who, you know, was a little bit Nick Saban's doghouse last year. But this is a guy that 2 years ago at Alabama had 39 catches for over 600 yards and 8 touchdowns at Alabama. You know, a guy that had 4 catches for 76 yards and a touchdown in that win over Auburn. He had 7 catches for 97 yards against LSU. He had 6 catches for 79 yards and a touchdown against Tennessee. This is a guy that, you know, at that level, that SEC level, went out and was a pretty darn good football player on a very deep receiving core that season. And so we've seen a guy at that level be this type of player. And so now we're going to go out and find out, okay, what can this guy, you know, what can Notre Dame do against him? And if they're able to thrive against him, then you start feeling a little bit better about things. So that's kind of where I'm from is to your point. I think you talk about that. It does. If you have a stalemate that says, okay, you're in the top echelon of athletic teams, but you're not in the top level of athletic teams. If you are clearly the more athletic team against Louisville, then you are a little bit in the conversation of, okay, like, look, they completely out-talented Louisville and out-athleted Louisville. Boy, now I am really looking forward to seeing how they stack up against Texas and Alabama and teams like that. And so that's why I think this is a good test, because as we mentioned yesterday, at least I feel this way, and I'm not sure if you necessarily said you did or didn't, but I do feel this is a much more athletic version of Louisville in the pass game than it was a year ago. Jamari Thrash was really the only guy that athletically gave me major concerns last year. This group is a lot more, you know, especially if Colin Lacey plays on Saturday. That's going to be the big one. If he plays on Saturday, then I'm really going to say, okay, you're going to get the best of what Louisville has to offer. And if you can win that matchup, you're looking good moving forward.
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill will get more than 90.5 yards in week one? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game one hits and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550.5 yards, so I'm going to take that one. And I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999.5 yards. Put those together and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner. You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my 1-year anniversary of depositing my first $10, and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game. You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare ya. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's gotta be Wendy's at participating U.S. Wendy's.
Yeah, they're a lot more, Louisville's a lot more athletic throughout. They don't just have that one top-end guy, which I think makes them a very dynamic offense. It almost reminds me of previous Notre Dame receiving corps, right? You kind of had that one guy, and then afterwards, not bad, but nothing to write home about. And that's how I feel about Louisville this year. So the athleticism for them is definitely better than where it was at last year. But in comparison, they're not the same team that they were in other areas. So I know all things that we're going to dive into, man. I'm ready to get into it. It's going to be fun to break it down. But yeah, overall, I would just say that my biggest takeaway from this game is going to be comparing where Notre Dame is athletically, and it'll start to give us an idea of where to gauge them with the rest of college football.
All right, Trevor, that's going to do it, obviously, for a little bit of the intro section. We're going to dive first into the stacking up article, or stacking up aspect of this game. We're going to go through the Notre Dame offense and the different statistical aspects and personnel aspects and how they stack up against Louisville. Then we'll talk about the Notre Dame defense and how they stack up against Louisville before we get into our game records conversation. And so this first part is going to be a bit more of a statistical matchup and a results matchup. And then the second part will be more about personnel, just to kind of prepare everybody for that conversation. So, but before we move on to that part of the show, folks, do me a favor, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, share this podcast, give us a 5-star review. And if you have not done so, make sure you sign up for the message board at boards.irishbreakdown.com. That video that I did the other day has so far been the most watched video that I've done, which is impressive because it was an hour long. So impressive, not impressive that the video was an hour long, Impressive from the standpoint of that many people watched a video that was that long, and a lot of people watched it to the end. So kudos to y'all. It says that there are definitely still people out there that actually like to be, like to gain knowledge before, you know, and allow their opinions to be molded and adjusted by the data on the ground, so to speak. So shout out to everybody that had a chance to watch that. Again, that is for premium members only. So if you have not seen it, you definitely need to make sure you're signed up for the mess on the message board at boards.springtown.com. So Trevor, when you look at this matchup, it is very intriguing from the standpoint of, you know, we're going to learn so much about both of these teams. And this is true for everybody in college football. Like, do we really know how good Georgia is yet? Do we really know how good Bama is yet? Well, not really. We're going to find that out on Saturday. I mean, Tennessee and Oklahoma had a little bit of that game last weekend, right? Like, we found out, like, you know, hey, look, that Tennessee offense is pretty good, but it's not maybe at that elite level yet, because they did some good things against Oklahoma, got the win, but they didn't light that defense on fire. But we also learned that's a pretty darn good Oklahoma defense as well. And their offense is a mess. It is definitely a mess. And so you learn about these things. And of course, teams continue to evolve as the season goes on. And so when you look at this particular matchup, there's a lot more of, I don't really know who either one of these teams are. Notre Dame does have one more game under their belt. And Notre Dame also has two Power Five games under their belt compared to just one for Louisville. And so it certainly makes this matchup very intriguing. And the first one that we're going to talk about is the matchup of the Notre Dame offense against the Louisville defense, Trevor. And while the matchup of the Notre Dame defense is important and Notre Dame has to be able to stop them, at the end of the day, the Notre Dame defense could play elite football on Saturday, and this team could still lose the football game if this side of the ball doesn't get better. And so as we'll dive into here in a second, Trevor, but the fact is, the Notre Dame offense needs to figure it out. This is the week you've got to figure it out to some degree, because if you don't, this is a good defense that can shut you down enough to allow it to where their offense only needs 20 points to win the football game. And that's the concern that I have coming into this game, Trevor, is this matchup is going to be so important. This is going to be ultimately what tells us who wins or loses this game, is the matchup between the Notre Dame offense and the Louisville defense.
What Notre Dame's offense has to be really careful of is not going on those long scoring droughts that we've seen sometimes throughout the season. It's preventing yourself from having an entire half where you don't score a touchdown, or scoring on the first drive in the first quarter and you're not sniffing the red zone again until midway through the third. So I think a lot of, and what we're about to dive into here, the numbers, is we've talked a lot about it yesterday, and we're going to continue that conversation today around, it is going to be a lot of best on best. Because you look at some teams, you know, I was diving into the stats earlier. You brought up the CFB stats website. And then yesterday after the shows, I spent about 2 hours just messing around on the website. It's fantastic.
That is a great website, right? Like, all the different ways you can compare data. Yeah, it's a football nerds, like, which you and I both are. It's a go-to site. If you're someone who likes numbers and data, mm-hmm. and how are they versus at home? How are they away? How are they against FBS? How are they against F? You know what I mean? Like, it is, how are they against Power Five? How are they in conference? It is such a great way to really evaluate stats. It's a great site. Aren't you? See that? Look, all the things that you get from being with Irish Breakdown, man. Like, you just able to nerd out as much as you want now on stats. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh no, man. It's awesome. Brian, you know this about me, and you know, I guess I'll present that now. I'm a big seek to understand person, because I think a lot of times as a college football fan, you kind of get wrapped into, well, how did so-and-so lose to so-and-so? And I'm going strictly based off of names and names of the team and what their reputation has been over the last couple of years. I fall guilty of that all the time. And I was diving into the cfbstats.com website, and I was going through, and you start to see, it's like, oh, well, that's why so-and-so losses. It's because they average scoring 41 points a game. One thing that was crazy, and I know we'll get into this, and I don't want to go too much off course here, but Navy's the 10th ranked scoring offense in the country this year. That was wild when I looked at that this year. So that was pretty fun. But you know, back to course correcting here. It's going to be really interesting to see, because Notre Dame, where they have their strengths, is where Louisville has their strengths on the opposite side on defense. And this isn't one of those games. You look at a team like Clemson where they have, you know, they're ranked highly in offense because they're able to put up a lot of points, but then their defense also averages 30 points a game. So it's not going to be a conversation like that today. It is going to be very much, well, hey, Notre Dame averages 238 rushing yards a game. Louisville only allows 87 rushing yards a game. So the strengths of either side make for a really good, good on good matchup.
It's funny you brought up Clemson because I think that's a hilarious one because you look at Clemson's numbers and then through three games, you're like, man, that defense isn't that good. They're giving up 20. But if actually watch the games, yeah, they actually are. You know, they shut down Georgia for a half. Eventually, just the offense was so bad in that game that the defense just kind of broke late. And then NC State scored 35 points, but a ton of that was like second half with the game was over and backups in the game. I think it was like 45-7 at halftime. NC State scored 21 points in the fourth quarter. So, again, there is the aspect of you've got to really look at context for these numbers to really get a sense of how good a team is. Mm-hmm. Again, it was 59-14 when Clemson pulled their starters and NC State scored three touchdowns, right? That's the really fascinating part about this whole thing. And so it certainly makes this matchup intriguing. So let's actually just bring it up, Trevor, and we'll just initially dive into this data. And you mentioned the run game, and that's to me where this is going to start, because while I believe Notre Dame has to be able to throw the ball more effectively to win this football game, they have to still be able to win games like this. You've got to do what you do best to some degree. I'm not saying they got to run for 238 yards in this game. It'd be nice, but you have to be able to run the ball. This matchup, as you look at it, Trevor, and for those who are listening via podcast, Notre Dame ranks 18th in rushing yards per game. Louisville ranks 18th in rushing yards per game allowed. Notre Dame ranks 5th in the country in yards allowed per attempt. Louisville ranks 11th in fewest yards per attempt. And you can say, well, okay, yeah, but they're beating up on a lot of bad teams and this type of thing. And you're like, okay, true. They did shut down Jacksonville State and Austin Peay to a degree. Austin Peay only had 34 rushing yards. Jackson State had 130. Their quarterback went for 101, though, which is relevant to mm-hmm. this game. But they played a good Georgia Tech team, and Georgia Tech's got a solid run game. Not as good, actually, as I thought it was going to be this year. But they held them to 98 yards. And I think about 25 of that came on the first scoring drive of the game on a Haynes King keeper. So outside of that run, Georgia Tech didn't do a whole lot. So they were tested by a team that is a good running football team, not as good as Notre Dame, but a good running football team that is very similar in style to Notre Dame, you know, mobile quarterback, you know, athletic running backs, that type of thing. And Louisville handled their business and won that battle. And then you look at Notre Dame ranks 12th in most runs of 20 yards or more, they rank 3rd in most runs of 20 yards or more with 12. That's somewhat boosted by the fact that Notre Dame has played 4 games and some teams have only played 3. And then Louisville, on the other hand, ranks 55th. They've allowed 4 runs of 20 yards or more in 3 games. I think 2 or 3 of those are by a quarterback. Again, that's kind of relevant to this conversation. But then there's the number that's the advantage to Notre Dame or advantage Louisville. So the raw data here is Notre Dame has allowed 17 tackles for loss for minus 69 yards. Louisville has racked up 26 tackles for loss for 100 yards. The ranking, however, is per game because it can really skew. So this one is one of those per game averages. I thought that putting the raw numbers would make the most sense because you could see it, but the ranking is based on what those teams are averaging per game. So Notre Dame ranks 41st in college football in most tackles for loss allowed, which is not good. You're not in the top 40. That's not good. Whereas Louisville, in their first 3 games, ranks 7th in most tackles for loss per game. Now, you want to talk about a little context. They did have 14 in the opener against Austin Peay, which is going to obviously boost their numbers up. They're currently averaging almost 9 per game. Against Jacksonville State and Georgia Tech, they went for 5-7. That puts them at 6 per game. Now, if you go and look at it against FBS teams, Louisville right now with 6 ranks 47th in most tackles for loss per game. And then you look at the Notre Dame offense, obviously, and their tackles for loss per game, and they rank 73rd in most tackles for loss per game in games between FBS teams. So both teams, if you put the FBS numbers in, they actually go way down. But Louisville still ranks higher than Notre Dame there. That's going to be a big part of it too. So when you look at this matchup, Trevor, obviously this is two good-on-good groups. Louisville was very good stopping the run last year as well. So this isn't like some, oh, wow, what a surprise. Louisville's good at stopping the run. I didn't see that coming. Louisville had the number 10 run defense in the country last year. And they only gave up 99.8 yards per game. So they're right on track with where they were last year. And that's what makes this an intriguing matchup. Now, for context, Notre Dame also played the number 14 team in the country last year in rush defense. That was Texas A&M, and Notre Dame went for almost 200 against them. This is a little bit of a different test, different style of test. So this, to me, in offense versus defense, this is the best matchup. Not the most important, but the best matchup that we're going to see in this game on Saturday.
Yeah, the matchup with Texas A&M was a little different because it was about their size, and I know you touched on that a little earlier. This is going to be, how is Notre Dame able to run against a very aggressive, very fast, very long defense? And if they're able to push the ball on the ground, it's going to give me personally a lot of confidence, as it should the rest of you guys, in saying Notre Dame can run the ball against the big physical teams, and they can run the ball against those athletic defenses as well. Obviously, you have to look at these stats and take everything with a little bit of context. One of the things that it shows me is they are very good at creating chaos in the backfield. Obviously, I understand that it was Austin Peay. 14 tackles for a loss in one game is awesome regardless of who you play. And one thing that I will say about stats is I'm a huge numbers guy, like I just got done saying, but you need to use statistics to formulate your opinions with context. You can't only go based on stats, because if we did only go based on stats, Notre Dame should not have allowed 75 first-half rushing yards to Miami of Ohio, the last-ranked rushing offense in all of FBS, right? So what this shows me, and if I were to point out a stat that I think is going to be the key here, is what Notre Dame is going to be able to do on those big plays, those 20 runs, 20 yards or longer runs, with Notre Dame having 12 so far this year and Louisville allowing 4. Now, there's a difference in games here, but bringing up the strength of schedule for Louisville and that they've only played one Power 5 team so far, the fact that they have given up 4 makes me think that there's going to be a little bit of, we're going to see how much and how explosive Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price are going to be relative to this Louisville defense.
Here's the interesting thing for me, Trevor. If you actually look at statistics against Power 5 only opponents, Notre Dame ranks 3rd in college football in rushing yards. And that means games where your opponent was a Power 5 team. So even if you're an FBS, a group of 5 team, and you play one Power 5, it only takes into account that one game. Notre Dame is averaging 280 yards per game rushing against their Power 5 opponents so far this season. They rushed for 198 yards against Texas A&M, 5.8 per carry. And they ran for 362 yards at 8.2 yards per carry, and they're averaging 4 touchdowns a game. If you look at games against Power 5 teams, Louisville's only played 1, Notre Dame has played 2. Here's a stat that I bet you're not going to expect, Trevor. Do you know which defense has allowed fewer yards per game rushing this season against Power 5 opponents between Notre Dame and Louisville from a defensive standpoint? It's Notre Dame. Mm. Yeah, Notre Dame has allowed 92 yards per game. Why? Because they held Purdue to like 30-something, right? And then Purdue in their two other games against not Notre Dame has rushed for over 200 yards in both games. So that's what I'm saying is, like, this early in the season, you really don't know, and it can be dangerous looking at these matchups. But here's what we do know, and this is what I believe we can certainly agree on, and that is whatever the stats say coming into the game, this matchup is incredibly important, especially if we get some of the weather conditions that they're saying may happen during the game. Now, I've learned living in South Bend, and Trevor, I know you've spent some time in this area and you're an Indiana guy. It's not a whole lot different. Looking at weather reports for a Saturday on a Tuesday is kind of a waste of time. I have seen weather reports for Notre Dame games that are going to be, oh, it's going to rain all day, and then you get there and there's not a cloud in the sky and it's sunny all day. And then other times where it's, you know, complete opposite. And so I don't really get into that. But if that happens, and that can always happen, this becomes even more important because of the fact that this is such an integral part of the Notre Dame offense, and they're going to have to get going. The intriguing part of this matchup is how does Louisville account for Riley Leonard's running? I feel like the last two opponents weren't overly concerned about Riley Leonard as much compared to the other two running backs, partly because they had the Northern Illinois film and the A&M film to look at. Riley ran the ball at times against A&M, but the run game was built around Love and Price. And then when Riley Leonard got hurt against Northern Illinois, they didn't run him at all. So if you're doing opponent research, you're looking at Notre Dame saying, they're not running Riley Leonard as much as they did at Duke. We got to stop number four, number 24, which honestly, even if Riley Leonard was running well against those two teams, that's still probably a smart game plan. And so what we saw from Purdue, well, Purdue tried a lot of things and none of it worked. Everything kind of worked against Purdue. But against Miami of Ohio, their game plan was almost entirely geared towards when four goes this way, you crash that way hard. When 24 goes this way, you crash that way hard. And it left Riley Leonard wide open on a couple runs. And then we also saw against A&M, where A&M was the one team that really game planned to say, we're going to stop number 13 from running the football. And what happened? Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price gashed them. What's the sweet spot for Louisville in this matchup, Trevor? That's going to be the interesting thing is, do you try to stop both, running the risk of you may not stop either? Or do you say, hey, listen, we're going to take the running backs out and force Riley Leonard to beat us? Or do you say, we're not going to let Riley Leonard beat us schematically, and then we're going to trust our D-line to win the battle up front, which then shuts down the run game or the running backs? That's going to be an intriguing part to see which direction does Alex English and Mark Hagan go when it comes to the game plan of which of these two aspects of the run game do you focus on? Because you can't they're not running the same exact plays. It's not like having two great backs, Trevor, where – well, yeah, Jeremiah Love's running inside zone and so is Jadarian Price. And Jeremiah Love's running counter, so is Jadarian Price. Like, it doesn't matter which one's in the game. The run game doesn't change. It's different when you look at the running backs compared to what Notre Dame's doing with Riley Leonard, because you can't always key on one, because a lot of times they're going in completely different directions. And we saw that on Saturday, where there's times when running lanes were opening up for the backs, because on that particular play, a guy was King Riley Leonard, you know, and you look at the Jeremiah Love touchdown run. He's had a couple of those runs this year. We can see the team is king on the quarterback. But then there's a ton of times in the last two games where it's very obvious the teams are king on the running backs and Riley Leonard makes them pay for it. You're seeing it. I know there's frustrations about the passing, and we'll get into that. But this is a big reason why Notre Dame brought in Riley Leonard this season, is because he forces you to defend Notre Dame's offense very differently than you've defended Notre Dame's offense for quite some time now. A team like Louisville to say, we got to make some tough decisions, because if you try to stop both, you run the risk of stopping none of it. And if you try to stop one, then the other side could maybe rip you up. And that's the very schematic coaching matchup that's going to be very intriguing in this game, Trevor.
Light it.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Urban Meyer. This fall, the game changes. Join me, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, and broadcaster Rob Stone as we bring you a new perspective on football and culture every week. We will be joined by the biggest name in sports and talk about everything inside and outside of the lines. Let us guide you through a new era of college football. Watch Triple Option on YouTube or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Matt Leiner.
I've got a podcast called Throwbacks with actor Jerry Farrar, where we'll be talking all things sports, but also so much more.
We'll give you the behind-the-scenes stories from my days as the quarterback on an iconic college football team to Jerry's days as a star on an iconic TV series.
So subscribe to Throwbacks on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah, that's going to be the chess match that I'm going to be paying attention to a lot. And you guys talked about this a lot in the preseason and leading up to the season, is how lethal Riley Leonard is even when he doesn't have the ball, because he's somebody you always have to game plan for. Because all it takes is one pull right? All it takes is one keep on a backside read, and he's taking it 50 yards to the house. You know what I mean? So if I'm a defensive coordinator, that's going to be top of mind for me. I mean, those 20-yard plus runs, I don't know what the breakdown is, but I would have to assume that a good chunk of those belong to Riley Leonard. It's not just the two dynamic running backs that are in the backfield. That's something that I probably should have looked up before we went live today. But, you know, that's something that I think is going to be very interesting to watch. Louisville so far this season has given up some good chunks to the quarterbacks in the running game. And this is no disrespect to Jacksonville State's quarterback or no disrespect to Haynes King, but Riley Leonard is an extremely dynamic runner. And I'm willing to put Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price up against any running back room in the country. So it's going to be really interesting, to your point, to see what they do to try to stop it. And I know we're going to get into the passing game later, but it's not as simple as what some people think as, well, just load the box with 8 to 9 people and stop the run. Because Notre Dame's wide receiving core has shown inklings that they can hurt you down the field. Not consistently, not as much as we as fans would like to see. But it's not as simple as load the box with 8 people and stop all of it. Because to your point, sometimes when you go to stop all of it, you stop none of it. So that's going to be an interesting challenge for Ron English on Saturday.
And when you look at it, like you said, the quarterback at Louisville, I mean, at Jacksonville State, he's a good runner. You know, he on the season so far, he's rushing for 269 yards in 4 games. That's 5.6 yards per carry, 67.3 yards per game. The Louisville game was his best performance. He had 80 the next week against Eastern Michigan and 77 against Southern Miss. So he's been pretty good in all games, but that game was his best performance. You look at Haynes King. Obviously, Haynes King is very similar to Riley Leonard in size and athleticism, and he obviously had good production last year running the football at 737 yards, 6.1 per carry this season. If you look at his performance, he was around, he was at 11 yards per carry against Syracuse. He was 5.4 against Georgia State, 4.6 against Florida State. And so on the season, Haynes King, I'd say he was around 6 yards a carry. Riley Leonard, so far this season, especially when you consider there was a game where he hardly ran the ball at all after the first drive because he was injured, that'd be the Northern Illinois game. He only rushed for 16 yards. I think all of that came on the first drive before he got hurt. He ran for 63 against Texas A&M at 5.3 per carry. He went for 100 against Purdue in a half, 9.1 per carry. And then this last week against Miami of Ohio, he went for 143, 11.9 per carry. And he basically played one drive in the fourth quarter. So, like, to your point, it is a different dynamic. It is a much different dynamic. And part of the dynamic is different because you do have to account for Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price. And with all due respect to Jamal Haynes, who, you know, I'm high on Trevor because I have him in my first team all opponent back. He's not Jeremiah Love. And he's more nuanced than Jadarian Price is now, but he's not as talented. And so this is a very, very interesting aspect to this matchup is going to be this. And so, you know, you look at it on paper and you talk about who's got the advantage. Neither. It's about as even as you could look at. And I'm very curious to see what this is. One of those things we talked about yesterday, Trevor, is we're going to learn a lot about the pride of this Notre Dame football team in this matchup. Because if you're Notre Dame, somebody in the chat said it earlier, they said, if I was Louisville, I would game plan to schematically try to stop Riley Leonard and then ask your defensive line to dominate, which shuts down the running backs. Well, why would you take that strategy? Like, what makes you think you can do that against this Notre Dame team? Well, because that's what we did last year. You know, we dominated them up front last year and were able to shut the Notre Dame running game down. Notre Dame had 44 carries on 28 yards. So, did it last year. Why not think you can do that again? So the point was very valid, and we'll find out what they decide to do on Saturday. And that makes it imperative that the Notre Dame offensive line has to be on top of their game run blocking wise. The good news is I know a lot of people, Trevor, are unable to separate run blocking versus pass blocking when evaluating a line. And when you're talking about the overall performance of the line, you shouldn't remove them. They do go together. But when you're just talking about the run game, The reality is the Notre Dame offensive line has been pretty good in this area all season. This is an area that's been a strength. Now, we're going to see what it looks like Saturday because you don't have two starters. This is when you find out how much not having those two starters hurts or not, because Miami Ohio was an undersized defensive line. This is a defensive line that's very athletic and not very big, but much bigger than Miami of Ohio. I mean, this is not a very big Louisville defensive line. It reminds me a lot of the Ohio State defensive line last year from a size standpoint. You know, Ashton Gelott and JT are very similar in size. Tramell Jones and Jack Sawyer are very similar in size. You know, Louisville's got one 300-pounder that plays a bunch, and Ohio State had one that played a bunch. Their other best guys, like 290, just like Ohio State's guy, you know, quote-unquote best guy last year was like 285, 290. Reminds me a lot of that line. And Notre Dame handled that line well, and then they struggled against Louisville. Which version of that do we see is going to make this it's going to determine who wins this matchup. So very evenly placed matchup on paper. Now, this one, this is on paper a mismatch. Yeah. It's the Notre Dame pass offense against the Louisville pass defense. Now, when you look at the numbers, Trevor, Notre Dame ranks outside the top 100 in yards per game, yards per attempt, yards completion, touchdowns, pass efficiency, and plays of 30-plus yards in the pass game. They've had two so far this season. Louisville ranks inside the top 50 in yards per game, yards per attempt, yards per completion, touchdowns allowed, pass efficiency defense, fewest 30 plays of 30 yards or more, and sacks. The only thing that they rank outside of the top 50 in is interceptions. They've only had two. So you look at this matchup, Trevor, and just looking at it statistically, this is clearly advantage Louisville. And that includes if you're going to say, okay, well, look, in fairness, Louisville's only played one team that really throws the foot, that even remotely throws the football. And that team threw for over 300 yards against them, that being Georgia Tech. And that's true. Georgia Tech did throw for over 300 yards against Louisville against Louisville last week and averaged 9.8 yards per attempt. But Georgia Tech so far this season has had a much better passing game than Notre Dame. I mean, that's just the reality of it. It's not like Haynes King has been out there like stinking it up all year and all of a sudden figures it out against Louisville. He's averaged over 9 yards attempt per pass attempt in 4 games this season. He's had only one interception. He's thrown 6 touchdowns coming into the Louisville game. He's completing almost 74% of his passes. And on the season, he is averaging, let me just look at this real quick. He is averaging 254.8 yards per game. Notre Dame's not averaging close to that. So it should be an area that Notre Dame should take advantage of in theory. But when you look at the numbers, even if you only look at what Louisville did against Georgia Tech, you have to take into account that, but has Notre Dame shown you anything that makes you think they can take advantage of Louisville the way that Georgia Tech did? That's the concern that I have, Trevor, because if you really looked at the context of Louisville's numbers, they only played one Power 5 team and they didn't do a very good job stopping a pass game. But there's nothing we've seen from Notre Dame this year that makes you think from a protection standpoint, a quarterback standpoint, or receiver standpoint, that they can do anything to take advantage of this matchup so far.
Looking strictly at the numbers, I couldn't agree with you more. There's nothing that I have seen in Notre Dame's first 4 games that gives me the utmost confidence to say this is going to be the game where they turn it on and where they take advantage of some of those matchups and take advantage of what Haynes King put on tape last week and was able to do against Louisville's pass defense. It's weird, and this is not me coming to the defense of why Notre Dame ranks outside of the top 100 in like almost every category outside of the bad ones, right? But I think looking at these stats and these numbers with a little bit of context, you have to add in the Purdue game in there. When you're rushing for 300-plus yards, there's not a need to go out and throw for 300 yards. Now, that's one game. That's one sample size. You know, I go back and I think about the week one game against Texas A&M. I didn't expect Riley Leonard and Notre Dame and Mike Denbrock's game plan was, all right, Riley, I hope you're ready to throw the ball 35 times tonight. I just didn't think that that was going to be the case. But the two things that do stick out on the flip side of that coin is when you had that opportunity against Northern Illinois and against Miami of Ohio to start stretching your legs in the pass game. You didn't take advantage of that. And I think that's what really, really kills. And I think that's what stings Notre Dame fans a lot, myself included, because that's the stuff that you want to see. Because let's call a spade here, and it might even be Saturday. Notre Dame is going to have a game or a series in a game where you're going to have to pass to move the ball. It's going to happen, whether it's against Louisville, whether it's against Georgia Tech, whether it's against USC. If Notre Dame makes the playoffs, it's going to be in the playoffs. I can tell you that right now. Even Michigan last year, a run-heavy team, J.J. McCarthy had 3 passing touchdowns against Alabama. Right? So at some point in time, it's going to happen. And I can see where a lot of the Notre Dame faithful are coming from of, you haven't given us a reason to think that it's going to happen anytime. So it makes me super uncomfortable to think that this is going to be the game where Riley Leonard lights the world on fire through the air. But to your point, there will be opportunities to do it. And it's going to come down to if he's going to pull the trigger, if the offensive line is going to hold up, because there are a lot of different factors. It's not just Riley Leonard. It is. That's the fact of the matter. But everything is going to have to start working cohesively for that to start happening.
I will say this, Trevor. If you watched my breakdown of the pass game, it's very interesting. I was talking with someone on the Notre Dame side of things about this, and I expressed my frustration about the pass game before breaking it down, and I'm still frustrated by it. But we were talking about it, and then I texted him. I said, you know, hey, did you feel better about that after you watched the film? And he was like, yeah, actually I did. Like, there's still a lot of work to be done, but yeah, I did there. Cause you started to see things from Riley that you hadn't seen before. Just a little hint. Like one of the criticisms I've had first 3 games was he was one read and gone, and he was rushing those reads. We saw 3 balls that I just off top of my head that we saw him throw where he came all the way backside on his read. We saw the seam route to Mitchell Evans that got called for a pass interference. It was a gorgeous ball. That was his backup read. That was his, okay, number one, receiver slips. He comes back to the backside post and throws a dime, and he threw with conviction. One of the biggest throws of the game was the throw before the 3rd and 10, the 38-yard touchdown pass, where he hits Chris Mitchell on a backside dig route to make it 1st and 10 at the 38 instead of 3rd and 10, and you get a completely different look. And so then you come into it the next play, and he looks front side. It's covered. He comes backside, and he throws with conviction on a low, hard fastball to Chris Mitchell where the ball needed to be. Now all of a sudden you've got a 14-yard gain. And then later in the game, he did the same thing on a over backside dig where the front side was played. They overplayed the slot fade because Notre Dame had run that a lot. He immediately comes back, hits Chris Mitchell on the backside an option route. And I said dig, but it was an option route. And you're like, we hadn't seen that at all so far this year. And so now the hope is, okay, is that just he was comfortable with what Miami of Ohio was doing? Or is it he's starting to get comfortable in this offense? Because we don't know the answer to that. It could have just been whatever they were doing from a defensive standpoint, he just felt good against. It could be that. That's why he was throwing more deep balls, right? You had the deep ball to Evans we talked about. You had the deep ball to Bo Collins for a touchdown. You had a deep ball to Jordan Faison that got called for a defensive PI. A deep ball to Chris Mitchell for a big play that was called for a PI. Another ball that hit Bo Collins in the hands on a deep ball that got dropped. You did miss on the deep ball to Jaden Harrison. That needs to be outside a little bit more. And you might have a touchdown there, but like you saw a more aggressive Riley Leonard, you saw Riley Leonard going through his reads. And if that carries into this game and then he can just clean up some of the, how do you miss that one? How do you throw that ball and then miss that ball? If he can clean some of that stuff up while not taking a step back, because that's the concern, right? Like the throws he missed against Louisville, he was hitting against Purdue. The throws he was hitting against Louisville, he wasn't even trying against Purdue. So we still don't know what version is going to show up. But if this was a building block game, that actually gives me some confidence that Notre Dame might actually be able to do a little something in this matchup. Because personnel-wise, on paper, this is a matchup that Notre Dame should, coming into the season, have been one where, hey, I think outside of Quincy Riley, I think Mitchell Evans should have a field day in this game.
Sure.
Right? He hasn't been himself so far this year. This is a game where you look like, man, Jaden Greathouse should be able to do some stuff in this game. Well, this is a game where Chris Mitchell should have some, be able to put some work in this game. Well, those guys haven't been that type of guy yet. And, you know, that's the interesting piece is what was last week? Was it just a game or is it a building block?
I think it's fair to say that it could be a little bit of both. When I went back through and I watched your passing breakdown, one thing that dawned on me that I think a lot of people do tend to forget, and now I know Notre Dame is going into their fifth week of the season, but I think we're seeing the progression of a quarterback who didn't practice in the spring. And a lot of these, like settling down through your reads and getting comfortable with the offense, those are the things that start to get worked out in the spring. I'm not saying he would have been a perfect product come August 31st at Texas A&M if he would have went through spring practices. But I do think that, you know, it could be a little bit of both. Because if it was just a game for him, I don't know if he would have been as accurate on some of the balls he was pushing down the field. Like that post route to Chris Mitchell that was called for a DPI, that was a good ball. If he doesn't get interfered with,
it might be a touchdown.
100%. Yes. 100%. It's just you didn't get to see the result because it was a defensive pass interference. But
why do you think the DB tackled him?
Right.
Like, right. It would have tackled him because he knew he was beat.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you do as a DB. Say, I'm not giving up a 50-yard touchdown. I'm going to tackle the guy. There's a reason he tackled the guy. It's because he knew he was beat. Same thing with the throw to Jordan Faison. So,
yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead, Trev.
No, you're 100% right. It's the DB doesn't make that. The DB isn't tackling Chris Mitchell if that ball is 10 yards underthrown or 5 yards out of the back of the end zone. It was a good ball. The 38-yard touchdown to Bo Collins, you couldn't have walked it out to Bo better than that. So I think we are starting to see the progression of a quarterback slowly coming into his own, which is why I think there's a little bit of this up and down of, you see him hit the layups in the Purdue game, and then you see him miss some, most arguably, in the Miami of Ohio game of the shorter stuff, but you're starting to see him become more comfortable and more comfortable sitting in the pocket. There was a couple of throws where he even moved up in the pocket, where a couple weeks ago, it was almost like you scan the field real quick, you run through your read progression way too quickly, and he's breaking the pocket outside looking to run because that's what he's the most comfortable with. So that is going to be the big thing that I'm going to be looking for in Riley Leonard this week, is that continuity button, that consistency button that we've been hammering for weeks and weeks on end, because then that will start to put to rest to me, maybe it wasn't just a game where he was feeling himself right and was letting it fly downfield. Because if that's something that you're starting to do consistently, I think it's going to start looking real nice for the passing offense.
And the passing offense doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be 300 yards a game. It just has to be efficient and provide some explosiveness. That's it. And you do that, then you got a chance to do some things. And again, they don't have to be great against Louisville. They just have to be balanced. They don't have to throw for 300 yards. If they do, the odds are this game's not close, one way or the other.
Right? Sure.
Because they threw for 300 because they're down 27 at halftime, or they threw for 300 and they're up big, right? Like, totally. It's most likely not going to be a competitive game if they throw for over 300. Because if they throw for over 300, I don't think Louisville has any, with all due respect to Georgia Tech, they're not Notre Dame when it comes to running the football. Jamal Haynes, nope, a good running back.
Sure.
I don't know that I would. I do know I would not take him over Jeremiah Love, and I don't know that I would necessarily take him over Jadarian Price. He's more experienced than those two guys, more proven, but more talented. No. And as much as this line has struggled to pass pro at times, they have not struggled blocking the run. Now it's going to be a little bit of a different look, but I liked what I saw in the first game with this group, with Pat Coogan at center and Rocco Spindler. We'll see if they can continue that.
Yep.
And then of course Riley Leonard doing his thing. And so, I mean, his yards when he's part of the run game, it has literally gone up each game. So we'll kind of see how it goes, right? And so That's going to be a big part of this.
I think one thing too with Riley Leonard's stats, because I know a lot of people get tied up in the stats, and he has yet to pass for over 200 yards and all this stuff. I get that. But based on how Riley Leonard is as a football player, and how dynamic he is as a runner, he doesn't have to go out and throw for 300 yards a game. And I've said this before, I think what people need to start paying attention to for Riley Leonard is like his total production and what that looks like. My prediction is I think throughout the season, that number will stop going from like 150 passing and 140 rushing, a little bit closer to that. You know, maybe he is passing for 220 yards a game. And I say only as a quarterback, but like for Riley Leonard, only rushing for 65 to 80, somewhere in that range. That to me is going to start showing that Riley Leonard is coming into his own as a passer. Because what I'm looking for right now is that progression. Notre Dame is good enough to beat Louisville on Saturday, not having to go out and throw for 300 yards, to your point. But if week over week, we start to see Riley Leonard grow as a passer and become more comfortable in the pocket, I think that's going to bode well for where Notre Dame's at the end of the season.
Yeah, they're going to have to get there. And here's the final piece of this conversation, Trevor. You look at scoring offense versus scoring defense. Let's get actually back up to that here. Notre Dame right now, 48th in the country in scoring offense at 32.8 points per game. It's not good. Again, we'll go back to this. Notre Dame's numbers are actually better against Power 5 teams than they are against non-Power 5 teams, which I still say is just the weirdest thing out there. Notre Dame right now in total offense ranks 9th in college football in against Power 5 opponents. Now, again, a lot of teams only played one or two Power 5 opponents. Actually, I don't know that anyone's played more than one or two Power 5 opponents. And if you look at Notre Dame's scoring offense, Notre Dame is 4th in college football in scoring against Power 5 teams because they hung a 66th spot on Purdue, right? So think about this. Notre Dame scored more points in one game against a Big Ten opponent than they did against two MAC teams combined by about three touchdowns, because they scored what? They 28 plus four. No, actually, it was by 4 points. Excuse me. No, wait a minute. Hold on. It was 40. 28 plus 14 is 42, right? So it was by 24 points, so more than three touchdowns in one game against the Big Ten team. That's what makes this game this team so frustrating. Is your two best games offensively were against the two Power 5 teams that you play that honestly have the most NFL talent. Now, Northern Illinois is a better team right now, I think, than, you know, at least the way they played that Saturday. They were a better defense than what Purdue was that Saturday. Miami of Ohio's better coach, but those teams don't have the number of potential NFL players that, not that Purdue has a lot of NFL players, but they certainly don't have as many NFL players as what Texas A&M had. And if Notre Dame would have played against Northern Illinois the way that they did against A&M, forget Purdue. If they played it that way against everyone the way they did, they'll beat everybody convincingly. I'm just saying if they just would have played the way they did against A&M, they'd have won by at least two touchdowns, probably three. Same, and they would have beat Miami of Ohio by 40. And so, you know, that's the thing is we still don't know what we're going to get. Statistically, this is advantage Louisville, even if you only look at the one Power 5 game, because this Notre Dame offense has just been kind of mediocre this season, if we're being honest about it. Really good run game, really bad pass game, puts the whole thing kind of right in the middle. Third down offense has been a problem, although it's gotten better the last couple games. If you look at Notre Dame's third down offense, a big part of that low percentage at 38.6, which ranks 80th in the country, is they were 2 for 12 against A&M, 16.7, and they were only at 33% against Northern Illinois. They went 7 of 12 against Purdue and 5 of 11 against Miami of Ohio, and I believe one of the ones they missed was late in the game with the backups, if I remember correctly. So the starting offense was around 50% in that game. So the last two games have been better. Is that a sign of things to come? Or now you're playing a Louisville defense that's number 9 in college football on third down defense. We're going to find out how good is Notre Dame's third down offense finding its groove? I think it's been very well schemed the last couple weeks. And one of the third downs they failed on was sort of a, you know, we're just trying to get some yards, maybe break one because it's a third and long. And another one was a third and 20 where you're trying to get into field goal range as opposed to taking a shot. So overall, I think one of the third downs that was a quote unquote miss was actually a success because the completion got you in a field goal range. And so it was kind of mission accomplished in the third and 20. So you look at it and say, okay, are they just getting better or did they play teams that aren't that good on third down? And again, as you see by the numbers, ninth team, the 23.8% on third down is what Louisville's defense has been this season. And if you want to know how they did against the one Power Five team they played, it was actually the same for what they did against Austin Peay. They held Georgia Tech went 4-15 on third down. So it wasn't like they shut down Austin Peay and Jacksonville State and then those numbers pad what they did because they didn't stop Georgia Tech. They 4-15 against Austin Peay, 2-12 against Jacksonville State, 4-15 against Georgia Tech. So their third down defense has been good every game. So that's going to be another test. And I think a big part of this game early in the game, that's going to be a key for me. Notre Dame's third down success is going to be huge, huge early in this game.
Yeah, keeping drives alive is going to be something that I'm going to be watching out for heavily for a multitude of reasons. One, you start to get into that argument of complementary football. I mean, your defense is fantastic. Don't put them in a spot where they're going to be gassed, you know, midway through the second quarter because they're on the field so much. I think looking at that third down percentage conversion rate at 38.6% is telling as to why a lot of Notre Dame fans, myself included, are so frustrated with this offense sometimes. One thing, and you touched on it a little bit, that I don't think is talked about as much is how some penalties have kind of played into what that conversion looks like, because there have been a handful, not a lot, but there have been some where it has been a third and 11 and you convert, called back for a holding call or something. Or, you know, there's a few of those in there that I think contribute to that. But again, it's all the same. I mean, don't have a dumb holding penalty to put yourself into a third and 20 to where you're not looking to compete to get the first down. You're looking to get into field goal range. And then you also have to convert on the field goal, but that's a conversation for a different day. But, you know, that is going to be something that I'm going to be paying attention to a lot, is keeping the drives alive. Because in a game like this, and again, I don't want to pull the weather card, but there is a chance that the weather up in South Bend could not be favorable for any passing offense. And you don't want to put your defense in a spot where they just got, I mean, realistically 2.5 minutes of real time rest until they're back out onto the field again. So Keeping the drive alive, converting on third down, and keeping the chains moving is going to be huge for Notre Dame on Saturday.
One thing I like, the one area where Notre Dame has a statistical advantage, there's one area, actually really two. Notre Dame has been better at turnover. They haven't turned it over on offense a ton. One of those four turnovers was on special teams, and Louisville's not great at forcing turnovers. They had a big one against Georgia Tech, but they haven't produced a ton of turnovers. But the other one, the big one for me, is Notre Dame's red zone offense has been very good this season. It's another reason why it's number 13 is a big reason for that. You know, when you look at how good he is in the red zone as a runner, and then Louisville's red zone defense has been solid this year, but not necessarily elite. And their red zone defense last year was not great, to be honest with you. So I'm actually going to pull that up here real quick. So red zone touchdown percentage last year, Notre Dame ranked third in college football last year. Louisville ranked 42nd. So they weren't a great red zone touchdown defense last year. They're not a great red zone touchdown defense this year. Notre Dame's red zone offense has been pretty good so far this season. And keep in mind, one of those red zone touchdowns they didn't get, I believe, was a where they kneeled at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. Correct? Weren't they in the red zone when they kneeled at the end of the was it the Purdue game?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was. That was CJ Carr's drive. I remember in the postgame we were talking about every quarterback led a scoring drive, and you can even chalk CJ Carr's up to one because I think they were on like the 18.
Yeah,
that sounds right.
And would have scored if they would have let him.
Yeah, if they would have 100%. Well, I think going back to the third down offense, relating it to the red zone scoring percentage, that's what makes it so frustrating, is not keeping drives alive. And this might sound super fundamental for some, but not keeping drives alive is not giving your offense enough chances to let your playmakers go be playmakers. Riley Leonard is lethal in the red zone, right? I mean, we all saw it last week on Jeremiah Love's touchdown run where he like fumbled at the goal line and Emil Wagner recovered. They were down in the red zone, and the outside linebacker and the safety both had to crash down hard on Riley Leonard because you have to game plan for him. And that's why they're so lethal in the red zone. But that third down conversion percentage is so frustrating, knowing that they're just not giving themselves enough opportunities to get down there. So that's why it all ties in. That's why it's going to be huge. But if you get Notre Dame to the red zone, more times than not, what the stats are telling us is that they're putting the ball in the end zone.
Notre Dame kneeled at the end of the Miami of Ohio game as well, I do believe, but I don't remember it being in the red zone. I'm going to actually look that up right now. But now that I think about it, I don't know what drive they would have not scored a touchdown in the red zone. I'm trying to remember what drive that would have been, Trevor, because they're 8 of 9 in the red zone, 7 of 9 in touchdowns. Clearly they had to kick a field goal once, but the numbers don't make sense. If they would have kneeled in two games, then they would be 7 of 9 overall. So I don't think they were in the red zone against Miami of Ohio. Because red zone's 20 yards and in.
Yep.
I believe they were in Miami territory, but I don't believe that they were in the red zone. But I'll go back and look at that. So anyway, Trevor, so this is the matchup, Notre Dame offense against Louisville defense. It's going to be huge. It's going to be a big part of what this matchup's going to be. And yeah.
It's going to put a lot of the speculation to rest. Over the last couple of weeks, we at Irish Breakdown have heard a lot about, well, when Notre Dame's offense comes and plays against the Louisville's of the world and the Ohio State or the USC's of the world, you know, this style of offense isn't going to cut it, which to a degree, there is some truth to that. 100%. Like going back to those passing stats, you can't be the 100. Let me see. I mean, yeah, you can't be the 108th passing yard per game offense and expect to win these types of football games, but I think Notre Dame's offense has the opportunity to put to bed a lot of what those preconceived notions are about their offense, and that, well, yeah, sure, it worked against Purdue. They're no good. Texas A&M isn't as good as we thought. Once we get to Louisville, it's not going to work. So a lot of opportunity here for Notre Dame. I think establishing the run game is going to be huge, and it's one thing that I don't think stats is going to track. I think it's going to come down to just who wants to push the ball more in the trenches, man. I think it's going to come down to, you know, kind of like the conversation that we talked about yesterday, is Rocco Spindler and Pat Coogan both play, or no, sorry, Pat Coogan played against one of those linemen were injured last year because Billy Shrouth was playing against Louisville, right?
No. Billy rotated in at times against Louisville.
That's right.
No, Rocco and Pat were both healthy.
That's right.
They decided, the O-line coach told the offensive lineman, I was told this by two people that were either in the room or know someone in the room, they told them the day of the game that they were going to rotate guys in. Day of the freaking game.
Okay.
So that factors into why the offensive line mentally wasn't in that game. Like they were told before the game that, oh, by the way, we're going to do something different today than we practiced all week. Now, Billy got work during the week, but it's one thing to get work. It's another thing to have a plan. Like Harry Hiestand, when he was going to rotate Tommy Kramer and Robert Hainsey, they all knew going into the season, this is what we're going to do. This is the plan. Right. This is when Robert's in. This is when Tommy's in. It's rotate every other series, except when we're in 4-minute offense, because that's when we're going to put Tommy in no matter what. Or if we're in 2-minute offense, because that's when Robert's going in no matter what. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew the plan, and they repped that plan every single day. It wasn't show up on Saturday and do that. So when you look at this particular matchup, you look at it and say, okay, well, you got to hope that that's not part of the deal. You also wonder, like, how much did the extra week of preparation? I mean, there's all the different things that can kind of go into why was Notre Dame so unprepared to fight in that game? And you hope that those things don't rear their ugly head again in this game. And we're going to find out if that happens or not. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So we're going to move on to the defense next. But before we do, folks, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, share this podcast, give us a 5-star review. And of course, make sure that you check out that breakdown at boards.irishbreakdown.com. You're definitely going to want to be part of what we're doing on the premium board. And we're trying to clean up some of the negativity and hopefully Notre Dame helps us with that. Notre Dame can certainly help us with that a lot this weekend if they go out there and play well.